So I take it you think you're starting to fall asleep when I get up here, is that what it? I got this little thing I like to do with.
No, I know you're going to charge us up.
Well, I got this little thing I like to do with the student athletes, and whenever I tell them it's a great day to be a Leatherneck, they respond with a hoorah. So today's a great day to be a Leatherneck.
Hoorah!
Thank you very much. Chairman Shaw, members of the Board of Trustees, President Huang, thank you for giving me this opportunity to meet with you today. First, I want to go back and thank President Huang for giving me the opportunity to lead this athletic department at Western. This is where I got my degree in sport management, where I've spent my career working in college athletics. Began my duties on June 27th, and my focus was making certain we had our coaching staff in place for entering into the fall and prepared for the year to come. As coaching contract for our head baseball coach was not renewed, I did name our assistant coach, Taylor Sheriff, as the interim head coach for this season. Plan to conduct a national search next spring. I will say, though, that Taylor has done a wonderful job putting together a staff. The baseball team has a big weekend coming up next weekend with a fundraising event on Friday, September 30th, and their Fall Alumni Day on Saturday, October 1st. John, you were talking about events, and you've had 2,500 students attend. I applaud that. We had a football game last week, and we had 4,000 people at. So, again, athletics is a great opportunity to get large groups of people together around the university, and I hope we're able to continue to do that in the best way possible. Fall is certainly a busy time on campus with volleyball, men's and women's soccer, men's and women's cross country, and football all in their primary seasons. Baseball, softball, and tennis are also competing in their non-traditional seasons with regular competition planned on the spring. On any given weekend this fall, we could have 6 or 7 teams competing on campus. For example, tonight and Saturday we have home volleyball, though the team is playing at Macomb High School because Western Hall is unavailable for us to use this weekend, but for a very good reason. And we have home soccer on Saturday as well as football. And did I mention that women's soccer also plays on Friday and Sunday? So with an extremely small staff, on Saturday we will host volleyball at 11 a.m. at Macomb High School, men's soccer at McKenzie Field at 1 p.m., and then a football game at Hanson Field at 3 p.m. Our staff is stretched thin, to say the least, and not only do our full-time staff deserve credit for the job they do, but if not for the graduate assistance that we had, primarily from the sport management program, I don't know that we could do what we do right now. That certainly is an all-hands-on-deck all the time for us, and I appreciate the efforts of my staff all the time. I would also like to share with this group two main priorities that I've shared from when I first interviewed for the job as well as accepted after the position, and that is to undertake and complete a strategic plan for the athletic department as well as a facilities master plan. I regret that I've not had as much progress on these two areas as I'd planned, but other than more immediate needs have occupied my time here in the first 3 months on the job. I am reaching a point, however, that addressing the strategic plan is a must, as it ties into two other areas, financial planning and addressing our gender equity, both priorities for me. The strategic plan will also help us determine department needs when it comes to facilities and what may be needed to support our sports in the future. I believe for many of our needs that we have necessary space, but it's underutilized or not designed to adequately serve our needs. Completing our strategic plan will lead directly into developing a facilities master plan, which I will tie into the current campus master plan. Both our strategic plan and master planning process have to be done in conjunction with what the university sees for us, and we will follow that. Another priority I stated during my interview was to establish the Leatherneck Corps, or Council of Retired Professionals. This group will be asked to share their expertise in key areas to assist our program. The first effort in this area began last week with the new Women in Leadership program that I initiated. The program is intended to serve as a mentoring, networking, and educational program for our female student athletes, as well as our young female coaches and staff members. Last Friday, we hosted a luncheon with Patty Viverito, the commissioner of the Missouri Valley Football Conference, as a guest speaker. Patty was the first woman to serve as a commissioner of an NCAA Division I football conference back in 1985, and she has built the Missouri Valley Football Conference into the premier FCS football conference in the country. As for the core component of that project, former Associate Athletic Director Kathy Orban and former College of Business and Technology Professor Kathy Chenoweth-Onion, both retired, have agreed to assist in planning our program. I am truly excited to have these great leaders from our campus agree to take a lead role in this program. I hope to expand the Leatherneck Corps and have at least 20 retirees assisting us with various programs that will benefit our student athletes. I could go on, but I prefer to answer any specific questions you might have concerning the athletic program. And again, I want to thank President Huang for giving me this opportunity to lead this program. Thank you.
And questions on athletics?
Mr. Bubb, how many open positions currently within athletics that you're doing a couple roles right now, several, I would say, and where are you
sitting? My whole staff is, yeah. Yes. And, you know, we have three positions that are open, but we're moving forward with those. Had a great meeting yesterday, which is leading to some progress in getting that. And I'm going to tap into one of our former staff members that's retired to come and help out a little bit as well. So we're making some great progress in our filling the vacancies we have. One of the key positions, though, is our athletic business manager, which we desperately need and want to get that in place as soon as possible.
That's good. And I know you and I have sat down and spoke, but do you care to share a little bit of just detail and kind of your vision on a fundraising perspective, if you can, on some top points? You've got a diverse background with different athletic programs that you've ran and managed and fundraising, et cetera. I don't know if there's a little bit of a peek as to what you could share.
Well, you know, I believe that we have the opportunity when we talk about our budget process that the athletic program can be contributing more to its own net value, if you will. And I believe that my expertise, the areas that I've worked in before, be that in individual fundraising as we get ready to go into a capital campaign, or be that through working with corporate partners, corporate sponsorships, that we can certainly do more than what we've been doing in recent years. I think that if you look at over the past probably 7 years, we've either been level or gone down. And the challenge that I'm taking on is to make sure that goes the opposite way and we get that built up as quick as possible. That's not going to be the whole soul salvation of what the athletic program needs, but it can be a good start, and that's what I'm dedicated to making sure we have. I need to get these positions filled so I can get out there a little bit more in the public to make sure we're doing those types of things, though.
And I think the level of engagement with, just even last weekend, getting the 2002 football class back to campus. Now there's discussion, as you and I talked about, with the 97, 98 teams with football, but multiple sports, getting them back on campus again. So when we start kicking these things off, as you and I talked about, you know, they're on campus, they were here, they're excited, they take that back to the communities in which they are at, they talk about WLU, hey, so then when we ask for that gift, hey, I was just there. I was just on campus. I'm excited. I want to contribute, right?
It was a little, I felt a little disorganized in putting that reunion together, but it was one that we needed to have.
Yeah.
We didn't have a staff person to do that. I ended up jumping in and doing that, but that was because of a phone call from Coach Patterson to me the day after I got the job, yeah, and saying that he wanted to have this alumni group back, and I told him it would happen, and set forward in making that do. But we had about 25 to 30 former players back, and every one of them, the comment that was most common to me was, thank you for doing this. You know, we've been waiting to come back and waiting for the university to reach out. And we might sit here and say, well, we are always here. They can come anytime. But when you ask them to come back, it makes it that much more special. And that's what we have to do. We have to ask them. We have to be able to make sure we're getting them involved and engaged, just like recruitment. It's recruitment again, if you will. And but I think the people felt very good about coming back, and they're looking forward already to their silver anniversary 5 years from now. We've got a team, a 2000 team, that'll be coming back in 2025. And Randy Ball, the former head coach, Randy and I have stayed in contact over the years, and he'd already talked with me about next year we want to get the 97 and 98 teams both back. So we're planning and working ahead, but it's not just football. We've got to do that with our softball program. That's We've got to do that with our volleyball. Coach Jeter had a fundraiser for the basketball team about a month ago. We've got to work with all of our sports and get them to engage their alumni in the program, because those are the people who are also going to give and help support what we want to do in the future.
Yeah, there's no doubt. The sports are so important to all universities, but I would say, you know, you heard Nardelli, everybody did when he was here and gave that nice contribution at graduation. But one of the things is, you know, when he's doing his interviews, he's got WIU logo right behind him on TV. Karen, you travel quite a bit in the airports. You see the WIU logos. Trustee Shaw, you've made comment. Well, you just did earlier today about recruiting that student, you know, that had WIU gear on. So it's very important. And I know we've got a competitive landscape out there with the Missouri Valley and the Summit League. The deficit's something that is there, and we've got to continue to, you know, stem that tide. But I want to say, and from a financial standpoint, you know, the importance of making sure that our athletic program is competitive, because the landscape of what we're competing against, of course, I always talk about athletics, right? But it's an important factor to the university's success. And you look, we've got 350 student athletes.
350 independent. We have competing around 400, but some of them are dual sport athletes.
Dual sport.
So as individuals, we're probably around 350, 360 with that.
Yeah.
So.
And then, you know, scholarships, and you can split the scholarships, different things of that nature. So when you look at, you know, the importance of having student athletes, I want to also add the fact that they have a high GPA.
Yes.
So
extremely proud of our women's tennis team, 3.8 GPA last year. And our overall student GPA for student athletes is higher than the regular student population, but I would expect that. We try to provide them with additional support and attention. When we talk about retention issues, whether it's here or on other campuses I've been, normally, we'll talk about the portal in a minute, but normally student athlete retention rate is much higher than the university's, and I think it is because of the individual attention we try to focus on them in making sure we're keeping them engaged. But, no, you talk about wins. I just want to thank the president for putting no pressure on me whatsoever when he introduced me on June 22nd and said he was counting on more wins from me. So, Mr. President, I want to point out I am not a coach, okay? I manage those coaches, but I'll put the pressure.
Well, you're the coach of the coaches, right?
Yeah, that's, there you go. Yeah, it stands. And I appreciate that. And I certainly want to see Western's athletic program being competitive back the way when I was in high school, what I remember, and even when I was in college and graduate school, what the programs are like. So thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Other questions?
I'm just a comment, Paul, just to say that, you know, we talked a lot in this room today about vibe, and there's a lot of vibe around athletics right now, too, and it's a big part because of you stepping into that role. So.
Well, and I'll say this back to the people that supported me in this. It's time that they step up and show the support now as well. And I've said that more than once. Yep. And people are doing that, and I appreciate that. But I felt like I had a lot of support in moving forward with this, which I really appreciated from those individuals. And I'm going to call upon them to make sure that they show that and demonstrate that.
Thank you.
Yeah, just, I mean, you've got a couple of coaches that post a lot on social media, primarily Twitter is my jam. But they always talk about the portal, and I'm unlike Eric, it's not my lane. So, just, does that help us or hurt us?
In my opinion, the portal has made all of our coaches basically junior college coaches, if we will, from a mentality standpoint, because they're going to turn their team over every 2 years, not every 4 years. Gone is the day right now when you see a student athlete come in as a freshman and stay 4 or 5 years. Those students are going to be far and few between. The mentality is that if I'm a starter, I'm probably good enough to play the next level up, whatever that may be. And if I'm not a starter, I'm going to go look someplace where I can play. And the most disheartening part about this is the loyalty to the institutions that the NCAA and all the movement was intended to make it a better experience for the student athlete. But I think, as so many times it happens, the pendulum swings and it swings too far. The portal, the student athletes recommended about a month and a half ago out of the SAC committee, not our student athletes, but nationwide, that the portal should be open all the time, that there shouldn't be just different times that you could enter the portal and look to transfer. And so the students clearly want to be able, the second week of the season, if things aren't going well, they want to be able to move on. That got defeated and turned down, and there's actually windows that they can enter the portal in. But like I said, I think it's really swung a big direction, and there's got to be some compromise there on that. But student rights is a big topic. It has been for the past 5 years, and it will continue to be a topic. But it does have an impact on us.
Thank
so.
You.
So that was a part of my question.
Do you have the numbers on the transfer in and the transfer out?
I don't have an exact number on the transfers in and out this past summer, but I'd be more than happy to get that for you.
Okay.
And I'll make sure I get that back to Athena so she can share it with the board.
Okay, great. The other piece is I know that we have, I definitely know we have NFL stars because my husband is always like, oh, he's from Western. So, and then when I was here, there were a couple who went in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we doing to tap their shoulders? Like, hey, you remember you graduated from Western?
Well, and again, I think it goes back to the fact that we need to get them back and ask them back and to be engaged first before I walk in and hold my hand out and say, how much can you give me? Because I think it's a two-way street. I really do.
Of course.
But my first step with that is to engage our alums and get them involved. One of the things that I had shared early on in the interview process, there's two boards that I want to get active, and the president reminds me of this from time to time, our Leatherneck Club Board of Directors, which oversees a fundraising for our group. That group was kind of disbanded about 5-6 years ago, and I've met with individuals that had served on that, and I'm continuing to meet, but we plan to have that group back together by the time that we go into our fund drive next spring and playing a very active role. The other group is to establish an alumni letter persons group, however you want to phrase it. I'm not exactly sure what we're going to do, but that will be representatives that are alumni from each of our different 17 sports, and I will start meeting with them and planning out activities that we can get their colleagues back onto the campus and engaging in meaningful ways. So that's certainly opportunities there. Lee Russell comes to my mind right now, a gentleman that was back for the 20-year reunion as a special agent with the FBI. And he was saying, you know, he would love to come back to campus and speak in that. And we have people in those types of positions we need to take advantage of and make sure that they are engaged in meaningful ways with the campus. And they will, I'm confident, show their support as well.
Have we ever thought of a Hall of Fame for all of our...
We have a Hall of Fame, actually, and we're kind of taking a sabbatical from that this year. It had gone to the place where it was being done every other year, and I've shared with a couple people on campus that I plan to bring that back next fall, and that will become an annual event. And we'll probably do it around a home football game, but we will reinstitute that and get that going full speed.
Okay, and lastly, with the athletes, their promotions, I can't think of the right name for it.
NILs?
Yes, exactly. So how?
Name, image, and likeness.
Yes, that's very good. So how are we helping them or?
It's interesting because at our level, we had Summit League conference meetings last Tuesday and Wednesday that I was at up in Sioux Falls. Lovely drive, by the way, to Sioux Falls from Macomb, Illinois. For some reason, I thought Minnesota to Macomb to Sioux Falls made sense rather than Minnesota to Sioux Falls. I'm not sure what I was thinking. But anyway, NILs come up as a discussion point. And with the other athletic directors in the room, what we're finding at our level and the mid-major level and Summit League, this would probably be true also of the Big Sky Conference, the Ohio Valley Conference, there's not a lot of big deals being done at that level. It's more, a lot of the times you'll find restaurants. Maybe if student-athletes will tweet for them or put out tweets for them, they'll sign deals with them for meals or something along those lines. But we're not seeing the $100,000 deals being signed like what you hear about at Texas A&M or Oklahoma or those other schools. So we're aware. We're trying to keep our eyes open to make sure we can do something that will benefit the student-athletes and be of service to them, but we're not actively pursuing or overly concerned about NILs stealing away any of our athletes at this point.
Any other questions? Okay,
Again, I appreciate the time here. I appreciate your support and look forward to seeing you at our games this year. Thank you.
Thank you.